Hello everybody, it is Lingers Podcast. Now, our Lingers Across the Globe Corner's first podcast is ready to start. In this conversation, we will talk about English in Hong Kong with Joshua. Hello Joshua, and please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, so I'm Joshua, and I am a student studying in Hong Kong University, studying medicine in year two.
What is the most common method of English learning in Hong Kong?
I think reading would be the most common way because we have so many different books in Hong Kong, English books, and we generally encourage students to read so many books. We have a lot of different reading plans, and we will have some like translations. For example, when we are small, then we will learn it bilingual. We'll like read books bilingually, so that we can know more about what the story is about. And I think that's pretty interesting because to be a good writer, you have to be a good reader. So reading is the most important thing. To learn. I think. Yeah.
But I heard that English is Hong Kong's second language.
Yeah, and obviously it's English, because almost 90% of people speak English in Hong Kong as their second language. We learn it since we're young. We learn it like at the same time we learn Cantonese. So perhaps in Hong Kong, we have the English exams and all those in primary school and secondary school.
Yeah. Okay. What challenges did you encounter when you learn English?
I think the main challenge is that we don't get to be exposed to English all the time, because in Hong Kong, we learn everything in like a lot of things in Chinese, and people speak Cantonese.
Yeah,
it's difficult for us to really learn to speak English and to practice, and you really need to seize the opportunities when you have, for example, facing foreigners or having some friends who speak in English, and they try to polish your English. We won't have something called a speaking club, but people will go to some English classes, and there might be some foreigners, some Western people to teach, and by the interactions with your classmates and the teachers, you might get the opportunity to speak. And I'm very lucky because my secondary school is a English medium instruction school. So what I mean by this is that we would deliver the subjects, for example, in maths and science in English. So we get to speak English more often than other people, like in schools which speak Chinese. Yeah.
Because all the programs on English?
Most of them, yeah.
What about other students? Their program is on Chinese?
In Chinese. Yeah, so I think it's a really good way for us to learn English. Yes.
Oh, you're the lucky one.
Yeah. It's very difficult to enter an English medium school. Yeah.
Okay. How many percent of the total students who are learning in English program school?
I think it's a 50-50 in Hong Kong. English schools are common, yeah.
The students choose their English or Chinese? Or
yeah,
not?
You can choose it. Yeah, you can choose it. But if your school is instructed in English, then you don't. You get to choose the schools, but you don't get to choose whether you. English or Chinese in that school. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
In Mongolia, most of the schools have Mongolian program, and very few of the private schools have English programs. All the schools are English.
Because in Hong Kong, the vast majority of classes in university are delivered by English. So
really?
Yeah. A majority of them, and just except for classes in like Chinese history, or education, Chinese education, others all by English.
That's because I think that's just because their second language is English, I think. Actually, in Mongolia, the second language is almost English, but it's not officially.
Oh, so not officially, but I think a lot of people learn English.
It is English is so demanding, and
yeah.
And nowadays, the Chinese is also one of the demanding language in Mongolia.
Because
our neighbor country, and we have so big market in Chinese between Chinese and Mongolia.
China
and also so powerful economy.
China.
I heard that in Hong Kong people speak Cantonese. Do they speak Mandarin? How often do they speak Mandarin?
We won't speak Mandarin on a day-to-day basis. Speak all Cantonese, but some people from mainland might come to Hong Kong, and then a small portion of them speak in Mandarin. The tension between Hong Kong and mainland, it's still there. So generally, we will be very sensitive if someone speaks in Mandarin.
But you guys know the Mandarin, right?
Yeah, we all learned it since elementary school and primary school.
But you guys don't use that, right?
Yeah, except in exams or in Mandarin exams. So yeah, we don't really use that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think it's so hard to learn both of them, Mandarin and Cantonese.
Well, actually, the written form is the same. The spoken form is different. So I think for us, it's just the pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandarin is not as hard as Cantonese, because in Cantonese we have nine different
tones.
Nine tones, and Mandarin is just four. So it'll be much easier if you learn Cantonese and then Mandarin.
Yeah. Can you describe Hong Kong in three adjectives?
Well, I would say cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
First one, because it is really multicultural, especially the cuisine. You can have food from all around the world, and you will have also people from all around the world. You can see people with different nationalities. And the second one has to be fast-paced, because Hong Kong people are really, really busy, and if you're on the street and you walk slower, and the people behind you will be like,
Papa.
really bad attitude, and they might scold you, and then people might fight. And the third adjective had to be vibrant, because I think Hong Kong people are really energetic. They all they love to go on the street, and we love outdoor activities, love sports, and that's full of energy and powers.
Wow, that's the last one is so nice.
Quite positive.
And also, I saw those one Mongolian man vlog. He visited in Hong Kong, and he just bought some water, but it cost 22 Hong Kong dollar.
Wow, it's really expensive. I think it doesn't cost that much.
Oh, really? And in his vlog, every time he drink his water, he said that the so expensive water I'm drinking.
Yeah, so perhaps just drink tap water, and just don't buy them.
Yeah, and also I saw that he is sweating all the time, and he said that it is too hot in here.
I think the temperature is high in Mongolia, especially when it's 12 o'clock and it's really...
And what about the sightseeing places?
Some places in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Well, the number one tourist spot has to be the peak.
Victoria Peak.
Do you know the peak?
Yeah, I saw that so many people features and stories about Victoria Peak in Hong Kong.
Yeah, because the peak, the famous Sky Terrace. It has a spectacular panoramic view of the entire Hong Kong Island. And also you have like dazzling array of restaurants, shops, entertainment venues that cater to all ages and tastes. So I think there's so much entertainment and fun, especially the Madame Tussauds Museum. You have celebrities painted in wax. It's just like a wax figure of the celebrity. It's really real. Yeah. So it's really cool up there.
Wow. If I visit Hong Kong, I will, the first time I will go to the Victoria Peak.
Sure.
Also, I heard that you visited the Mongolia and...
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was the hardest thing to accept from Mongolian culture?
Well, I had to say that Mongolia is really big and really sparsely populated compared to Hong Kong. Really limited space. And but the benefit of being a very small city is that the traveling time is really short. Despite some like traffic jam, 1 hour should be enough for most of the places. But last time
it's really nice.
When I come to Mongolia, I had a trip to Nomad, and it takes almost a day, like 10 to 12 hours, and the ride is really bumpy, and I think it's really difficult for me to accept such a long ride.
The kilometer is about 1,000, I think so.
Wow, that 1,000 kilometers.
Yeah, that is so so far.
Really far, yeah.
What about the differences between Hong Kong and Mongolia?
Yeah, one of the differences might be how we eat. Perhaps in Mongolia, the set of menu might be the same, with so many sheep and might be even horse meat. But in Hong Kong, perhaps we don't really eat horse and we don't eat sheep that lot, because when we focus on like chicken or beef, and the scent, like the sheep smell, it's quite bad, and Hong Kong people can't really accept. So Hong Kong people is really picky.
But it is so interesting that Hong Kong people don't eat horse meat. Well, why they don't eat that?
They think it's really disgusting. Because I don't know why, but horse meat is not as juicy and as what's it called? The texture, it's not as good as beef. Yeah, I think.
Mongolian people, usually men's, really love to eat the horse meat.
Oh.
Yeah. And also, how about the dumplings with milk tea?
Well, I think that's good. I like drinking milk tea. This taste is not that strong, and it's quite. I think it's nice because I love dumplings and the texture, both the texture and the smell and everything. It's quite good. I'm pretty surprised by this combination because we don't really cook things with milk tea in Hong Kong. Pretty innovative.
The milk teas were totally different in Hong Kong and Mongolia.
Yeah, it's really sweet in Hong Kong, but it's almost tasteless in Mongolia.
Because it has a salt. Oh, okay. And the differences in food, it is in Hong Kong, they usually use some seafoods. Fish.
We eat it very often, like oysters, seashells, and lobsters, because Hong Kong is surrounded by seas. So perhaps Mongolia is an inland country, so it's pretty difficult for you to transport the seafood to Mongolia. So it's really nice to have seafood in Hong Kong.
Yeah, we don't usually eat some seafood. And in our end of our podcast, how about teach us some Chinese words? for example. Yeah, hello, etc.
Alright,
thank you.
And for thank you in Cantonese is 多謝.
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 Yeah, really nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and in Mandarin it's 謝謝.
謝謝. Yeah.
Yeah, 謝謝. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Chinese is hard to learn, especially pronunciations.
Pronunciations. Yeah.
Thank you for inviting, receiving our invitations and sharing the great experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. 謝謝.
Thank you everyone who listened till the end. Hopefully it was useful. If you liked our podcast, please share and leave comment. If you want more, please visit our website, lingors.com.